Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
Pinch hitting, the catcher, number two. Also, Karen in row J eating the hot dog. Did you mean to tip 167% yesterday at Le Cafe restaurant? Just checking.
So, meet Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong, like over-tipping, then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. Limitations apply.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Ben. All right, now we had quite a bit of Australian economic data out this week. So let's begin with that February trade surplus of over 3.5 billion Aussie dollars. What do you make of that?
Yes, good morning. It's an interesting place to start. I always like starting with anything to do with the Australian economy or markets. So it shouldn't shock us. I mean, it was great that it was stronger than anticipated and had some upwards trajectory for the Australian dollar as a result. But commodity prices, as we all know, have made a strong resurgence in the last 12 months. In particular, the one that affects us the most, and if we're talking about the trade surplus, then a lot of that has to do with the price of iron ore, and that has really defied the skeptics in particular recently, even though some of the major mining houses, including BHP and Rio Tinto, have been talking down prices from recent levels above $90 a tonne. Obviously, that just in terms of what comes into the Australian revenue line, and the coffers are being filled absolutely beautiful, in particular from that commodity, but also coal as well as other commodities have been doing a lot better. So that trade surplus shouldn't shock us. It probably just shocks us to the degree of strength that it did come in at. But bearing in mind, I think last month might have disappointed a little bit. So perhaps we're just seeing a bit of a rebound effect there.
How about this, sorry, a possible shocker then, because you've got Australian house prices rising the most in almost 7 years last month. You've got the Reserve Bank of Australia already tightening those lending restrictions last week. Are you expecting more cooling measures?
Yes, I am, but the RBA at their disposal has only got a very blunt tool, and that's to affect interest rates, and interest rates are very low at 1.5% at the moment. So that's obviously fueling, to a large degree, fueling the housing boom that we've seen. I think that, in terms of what can be done, political moves might be more important, and APRA also plays a pretty big role in terms of restricting the flow of money from banks getting into investors' hands, and a lot of that is hot money getting into investors' hands just trying to take advantage of this housing boom. So there's federal moves such as cutting concessions on capital gains that people make off property. I mean, these are things that may potentially have a greater impact on cooling the housing market and seeing measures that can manage a very buoyant housing market to make sure that it's managed effectively, because whatever goes up obviously naturally has to come down to a large degree. So to answer your question, yes, we will see further measures. Not sure what else the RBA can do, but politically we can do something, and APRA, the organisation here in Australia, is also having some say in the issue as well.
What about those rising unemployment figures then? Would that have to be a central bank move or a political move? Because we know that it is also on the rise, 5.9%. That's the Australian unemployment figures as of February, the highest since the start of 2016. If we think that this is a central bank issue, and then how do they try and stem rising house prices on one hand, while on the other, try and lower that unemployment rate? Can that balance be found at that record low interest rates of 1.5%?
Short answer to the question, no, it can't, because it's such a blunt tool. You can't do one thing on one hand and try and manage something else on the other hand. It doesn't work with just by lowering or raising the cash rate. So I think a lot of it is it does come down to a political viewpoint and trying to get the economy managed as successfully as possible. And, the foundation of the coalition's victory in the most recent election was on a jobs and growth package. 5.9%, that's probably not good enough. And obviously we don't want the RBA's hand forced again if unemployment continues to rise and they're forced to lower the cash rate to 1.25%, Well, you know, that's might have a bit of a shot in the arm for the unemployment rate ultimately, but, you know, it goes back to the old housing conundrum. And that's going to do nothing to quell the speculation and the rampant profiteering and the booming side of the market that we're seeing there. So it's a delicately poised issue, but again, it's probably more on the fiscal side that needs to be managed more than the monetary side.
Now, overall, looking at the Australian economy, I mean, it is still highly dependent on China. So how does that shape your expectations surrounding that highly anticipated meeting between President Donald Trump and President Xi Jinping that starts today?
I don't think this is going to be a huge event. You know, I mean, Donald Trump talks a big game, but, you know, he's talked a big game against some of those IT companies in the US. He's talked a big game against others that he supposedly was going to be at loggerheads with. But when he sits down and has a meeting with him, it's all cordial relations and thumbs up, slaps on the back, happy faces in the photos. So I'm expecting nothing different in terms of when he meets the president today from or starting today. I think the talks will be cordial. Obviously, you know, Donald Trump has talked to a lot of protectionists, and a lot of that goes against manufacturing out of China. But I can't see it being a massive issue. And I think, not that he's going to unwind a lot of the language, but I you know, it's not going to do anything to harm US-Chinese relations, that's for sure. And I think they'll come out of those meetings saying, if anything, they've been strengthened. So it'll be interesting just to see how the policy takes shape going into the future. No two ways, but and of course Donald Trump is talking a lot of these stimulus measures, but of course he's having trouble getting anything through his own house at the moment, including the healthcare package, repealing Obamacare. Those tax breaks seem to be put on the back burner once again, and those stimulus measures, well, who knows when, if and when they're going to be coming. So as much as he's been talking down relations with, or not relations, he's been talking down the need for Chinese imports moving forward, it can only be another couple of those bills being shot down by his own house, and all of a sudden China will have to be his best friend again.
Now, you do make a good point there, because, you know, on one hand, yes, with this summit coming up, you know, perhaps a lot more bark than bite expected, but still, you know, on home soil, you know, for domestic factors, it is still a tricky 48 hours for the US president. You mentioned the plans to overhaul Obamacare. I mean, there's also the attempt to, you know, swear in his Supreme Court nominee, Neil Gorsuch. So, you know, both also facing tremendous resistance. You know, I mean, what do you think? Do you think markets still have the kind of patience, or is the window closing on Trump policies given that there is the lack of traction and details?
Yeah, I would have thought that the market would be, well, not fretting, but they'd be a little bit more concerned, especially equity markets and, you know, how frothy some of the valuations are. I thought we've priced in a lot of good news and a lot of good potential out of Donald Trump, but so far we've got very few runs on the board. Apart from sort of immigration factors, this Obama healthcare package, you know, they're going and revisiting it again before tax breaks. You know, I don't know. I would have thought that at the very least it's creating some sort of uncertainty, and we know that share markets at least do not like uncertainty, especially when we see premium multiples that some of these stocks are trading at. So I'm still watching for an unwind, and I'm still watching the potential for a correction play out in the US. But, you know, although the Dow and S&P and NASDAQ were down again last night, you know, wasn't to any great degree. Dow down 0.2, S&P down by 0.3. I mean, that's not going to scare the horses too much, especially in light of the fact that we've rallied so significantly and the markets are only just off, you know, to the degree of 2 or 3% off all-time record highs.
Thank you so much for your time and your insights there. That was Ben LeBrun, market analyst at Options Express in Sydney.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.